upon. You are the one that we can put our trust in. You are the one that changes things but changeth not. You are the God who was and is to come. We thank you because your word is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That is why we can put our trust in you. That is why we can put our hope in you. You are our security. You are our defense. We don't need military. We don't need weapons. We don't need the armor. We don't need all the money in the world. We don't need people, but we need you. We need you. We need you. We thank you for your hope that you have given to us as a gift. We thank you for this opportunity to come together, to hear from you, to worship you. We do not take it for granted, O God, for you have set your face upon us like the sun, and our faces are radiant, O God, as you smile upon us. We thank you for making us your children. We are grateful unto you, O God. We bless and worship your holy name. In Jesus' name we have worship. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, choir. God bless you. Good morning, church. Good morning. My name is Esther Talani, and it's a pleasure to be here with you today. I want to thank God for this opportunity. I want to thank the pastors in the house, Pastor Patrick and Foyeka Talani, my parents. Thank you for this opportunity, and thank you to the youth as well, to the youth leader, Sister Bola. God bless you for all the work that you do. It is truly a privilege to be here with you today. And I want to see my time, if possible, somewhere. Will it show somewhere at the back? Okay, it will show that. Okay, thank you. I don't want to go over time. It is my pleasure. You don't, please, musicians, stay as well. It is my pleasure to be with you today, and I just want to share a few thoughts on the theme for the month, which is the month of divine hope. Amen. And in CLA, the theme for the year is the year of exponential growth. Hallelujah. Amen. So I want to see by a wave of hands everybody that has achieved all their goals for 2026. Just wave at me. All the promises that God has given to you, you've already seen them accomplished. Yes, yes, I'm seeing some hands. Some. Hallelujah, we're getting there. Amen. As we're approaching the midpoint of the year, what I believe God is saying is to come out. And I was going to put something at the end of that. I was just like, "Is what are they coming out of?" And God said, each person will personalize it. Whether you're coming out of hiding, whether you're coming out of failure, whether you're coming out of barrenness, whether you're coming out of shame, God is saying, come out. And the second part is into promise. When you get to the point where you have remove the shackles, where you have removed the things that have held you down, you need to then step into where God wants you to be. Amen. So that is the theme, and that is the topic for today. And the way that we're going to break it down is to really look at the dispositions and the practices of a hopeful soul. Amen. So our anchor scripture is from Isaiah 54 verse 4. And I would love if you could please rise up with me as we read it. Amen. Okay, let's read it in chorus. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and you will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. Amen. Amen. And there are some words that have been highlighted here. And when I was preparing, I was like, God, why do you want me to highlight and talk about these things? But this morning, it was just more of a confirmation during the call to worship prayers that this weekend is actually the celebration of pride. And if you don't know what pride is, it is a celebration of people who are lesbian, gay, bisexual. And I was wondering, like, how does this connect? And God said to read this scripture, which is from Ecclesiastes verse 10, 5 to 7. It says, "There is an evil I have seen under the sun, the sort of error that arises from a ruler. Fools are put in many high positions, while the rich occupy the low ones. I have seen slaves on horseback, while princes go on foot like slaves." I don't know if this scripture could be more apt in terms of the reality of the world that we are living in, where presidents and people in authority, people in positions that should be regarded with honor, despise it by the actions that they take for the people that they are meant to be representing. We see that fools have been put in many high positions, that slaves are walking, are on horseback, and kings and princes, they walk on foot like slaves. But in this month of hope, I believe God is saying that we are coming out of this. Amen. And we are entering into the promise, which is in this scripture, that the shame of your youth will not be remembered. The reproach of your widowhood will not be remembered. And what is the shame of your youth? This is shame from failure, shame from comparisons. When you're looking at yourself, and for the young people, you might be on TikTok, you might be on Instagram, looking at people whose lives means nothing, but they're able to display it because they have wealth, they have money, and they have what society deems as important. But I want to tell you that you have something which is much greater, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And what is widowhood? Widowhood is shame from inability. It is powerlessness formed through structural barriers and innate limitations beyond one's control. So I don't know whether it is the sins of your parents, the sins of the people that you associate with, or the sins from the places that you came from. I want to tell you that your face shall be lifted up like the horns of the unicorn in the mighty name of Jesus. Disgrace will be turned around in the mighty name of Jesus. So let us begin to pray. If we can move to slide 5, let us take the first prayer point, that Father Lord, open my heart, my mind, and my ears to hear your word concerning my life, and give me the grace to apply it in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, CLA, lift up your voices and pray unto God. Rabakanta lerebo sotaria basanta regede shakaterebo suntorobobo regada basanta rabababababababa regede shakanta rabababa. Open my heart, O God. Open my mind, O God. Open my ears, O Lord, that I will hear the word of God concerning my life. Give me the grace to apply it. Give me the grace to apply your word diligently. Help me to put the practices. Help me to put the systems in place in my life. Rabakaterebo sontorobobobo. Rebashatarebo sontarabababa. Regede satarebo sontorobobobo. Radarabashandarabababa. Help me to know the promises that you have concerning me, concerning my family, concerning my business.
business, concerning my purpose. Rababa setere bobobo, rogodo setara bababa, regede setara bababa, regedele bosotoro bobo. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's move on to the second prayer point. And we're making a declaration over ourselves. And we're saying, I decree, I am released from all guilt and shame of my past and from my forebears. I declare, I am free from hurt, disappointment, and failure. Come on and make that declaration right now. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Make that declaration over your life to say that I am free. I am free from shame. I am free. I am free from guilt. I am free. I am free from disappointment. I am free. I am free from failure. Rabala bashala basedere bobo. Zokara basetara baba baba. Shekara basetere. Zekere bosotoro bobo. Zakara baba baba. I am free. I am free. I walk in the freedom that I found in Christ Jesus. My hope of salvation, my rock and my strength. Rabalebo sokola baba, zetelegedelele, zekaraba zetelebo, zokore basatara baba. I'm walking in freedom. Every step I take in the liberty that I found in Christ Jesus. I walk in the grace and the strength that God has given to me because He died on the cross for my salvation. I am walking in freedom. I'm free from guilt. I am free from the past. I am free from failure. My failure does not define me. My failure does not hold me back. I rise up. I rise up in strength. I rise up. I rise up in power. I rise up. I rise up with the Holy Spirit empowering my spirit, man. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Lastly, we're going to pray that I present myself a living sacrifice unto God. I renounce all old nature and covenants and move into the new covenants that God has ordained for my life. Let's begin to pray. Let's begin to pray that, Lord Almighty Father, let me be a living sacrifice unto you, holy and acceptable. I present myself a living sacrifice unto you, O God. My old nature has died when Christ died on the cross. My new man has resurrected when Jesus rose from the grave. The old past shame has been removed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you have done for us on the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for the price that you have paid, that we are able to walk in victory, that we have a hope eternal. We give you all the praise, glory, and adoration. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. God bless you all. So, what I will be sharing on today are just a few points about what is hope, what is shame, and the dispositions and practices of a hopeful soul. So, what is hope? Hope in the context in our faith is very important, is one of the central things that makes us Christians. It is not just a wishful thinking, but it is a confident expectation and anticipation of what God has promised. Hope that isn't anchored on anything is just a wish. Your hope has to be anchored on the promises of God, and you need to know what the promises of God are for your life. One thing that I initially struggled with, now I laugh back when I think about it. I remember one time I called my mom and I was like, I want to change my name. I don't like the name Esther. My dad's laughing. Because I was studying the scripture and I was looking at the story of Esther. I was like, no. Esther was an orphan. I'm not an orphan. What were they thinking when they were naming me Esther? Did they want to die young? No. I was looking at the scriptures. I didn't understand what is the real story of Esther. What is the real, prophetic prototype that God wants me to model in Esther? And I was like, God, I need to understand. And I encourage every single person to take time to study scripture, not just to know God, but also to have a revelation of who you are in Christ. Because it was through that understanding of knowing who Esther was in the Bible and knowing what my prophetic prototype was, I was like, oh no, she was not just an orphan, but she was someone who had the gift of hospitality. She had the gift of changing legislations around, and she had the gift of impacting culture. You know, even till today, the Jewish people, they celebrate the Feast of Purim, right? And that is, you know, donkey years after Esther was alive, she changed the culture around her forever. And that is what I believe that God has also called me to do. I might not be in the parliament, but I can change and impact people by impacting culture. Amen. So you need to have a hope in something, and hope is something that is, in terms of when we speak in time, it is three-dimensional. It is future-orientated. It is something that we look forward towards, right? If you're already living in what that promises, then it's not hope. It's reality. Yes? So it is an anticipation. And the second thing is, it is grounded in the past. It is grounded in the evidence. It is grounded in the testimonies, and it is grounded in the character and the nature of who God is. And you need to know that for yourself. We cannot cover that today, but you need to know that through reading the word, meditating on the word, contemplating on the word, memorizing it. And the third thing is, it is sustained in the present. Hope is kept alive day by day by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that will be in you to energize you, to keep on going, to keep on persevering, to keep on enduring, even when your circumstances and your situations do not look like what the promise is that God has said for you. So hope is anchored in covenant, and we see this in the Old and New Testament. So in Psalm 119 verse 114, it says, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I put my hope in your word. So hope is woven throughout the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And we see that even when the Israelites had lost hope at the end of the Old Testament, they had to wait hundreds of years before they saw their Savior come. But they had to keep that hope alive. They had to stand as a nation to say that God's promises are eternal and He does not fail. Likewise, we have to have that hope that God Almighty Father, you are the God of the Old Testament, you are the God of Abraham, you are the God of Isaac, and you are the God of Jacob. And that covenant that you hold and you started with them, I am able to partake of it because of what was done in the New Testament, which is that Christ died for us. The New Testament is Christ revealed. The Old Testament is pointing towards Christ. It is the New Testament hidden. But God has prepared that we will have a hope to boast into because of the promises that God has given to us through Christ Jesus, because we can partake in it by the shedding of His blood. Amen. 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 So now we're going to move on to why sometimes we might feel hopeless. And shame is really an interesting emotion to think about. I'm not sure if we talk about it enough, but it's actually interesting that today's Sunday school was about self-worth. I was like, oh, this all ties together in some way. We talked about self-dignity, self-acceptance, and self-love. And all of these are like the opposite of shame. When someone is shameful, they don't have self-love, they don't have self-acceptance, and they don't have self-love. So shame can come from a number of places. And, you know, when I was looking at the scripture, it was quite interesting that, you know, back then, shame, people were proud of being believers. The Levites were proud of being priests, but now it's like turned upside down, where the people that should be proud now have shame. Isn't that terrible? The people that should have shame because they're not in the will of God, they are now proud. It's turned upside down. But shame comes from inability. It comes from barrenness, unfulfilled potential. It comes from insufficiency, and it can be internal or external. I love Nigerians because one of the things that other people from other countries usually say is that Nigerians, they don't have shame. Nigerians don't have shame. They're very, very boastful. But why is it that as a nation, that is one of the things that other nations can point towards as like a core characteristic? It is because I think Nigerians have this ability to accept external shame. Like they deflect it in some way, like a mirror is deflecting light. They'll point it back at you. If you ever see on social media, if anyone tries to shame a Nigerian, they'll say your mama or something. They'll deflect it all the way back to that person, which is it's good and bad. But what in terms of today's context, it is good. You should not take on the shame that other people place on you, because that is not the portion of God for you in your life. Amen. Amen. So what is the God-given antidote of shame? It is His promise. It is His covenant. Amen. Whether you're coming from a place of barrenness or whether you're coming from a place of failure, God has a promise concerning that thing. And it is your duty and your diligence as a Christian to go and seek out the promises of God concerning your life. Just as I sought out what my promise was as a prophetic prototype was Esther, you also need to go and look for what God's promises are for you and your family, whether it's to be a Daniel, where you will have a spirit of excellence resting upon you. We need to go and know what that promise is, because there are certain things that Daniel did, and there are certain things that you would need to also adopt and do to activate that spirit of excellence upon your life. Amen. The third thing is the prophecy, right? We also need our pastors, we also need our prophets and teachers to also look at us as mentees and as their spiritual children, to activate the promises of God over our lives. Isaiah was this for the nation of Israel. He spoke the prophecy of God over the lives of the Israelites, and that activated something in them as a nation that enabled them to move into their place of promise. Amen. So the last thing then is restoration. God restores. And I love the fact that even in the Sunday school, the case study was Job. And we know that the end of Job was much better than the beginning of Job's life. I think he had so many camels, so many sheep, that it was too numerous to count. And even his children were restored back to him. Amen. So quickly, I want to use the Shunammite woman to just touch on some of the dispositions of a hopeful heart. And the Shunammite woman is a really interesting lady, because she has three stories dedicated to her in the Bible. The first one is of barrenness. That can cause someone to lose hope. The second one is of death. That can also cause someone to lose hope. And the last one is of loss. That can cause someone to lose hope. So when it's about barrenness, she was clearly a very wealthy woman. She had married someone who was wealthy, and she was able to create a room for the prophet in her house, so that whenever he was passing by, he would have somewhere to stay. And as a result of her kindness and her generosity, the prophet then said to her, "What would you like?" And because of her hopeless state, she didn't even think of anything to ask. She said, "I am among my people, I'm among my brethren, all my needs are met." And it wasn't until his assistant Gehazi was like, "Oh, she doesn't have a son," that he was like, "Oh, okay, by this time next year you will have a child." And that was how her barrenness had been broken. And I just want to pray that today, that every single person here that is experiencing barrenness in any way, that the Lord Almighty Father shall give you that promised child, shall give you that promise, that Almighty Father will bless you greatly in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The second incident was when that promised child actually died. She went back to the source. And I want to encourage you that whenever you feel hopeless, always go back to the source. Gehazi met her halfway, and she said, no, I don't have business with you." And she went to the prophet Elisha and she said, "Your son is dead." And the prophet had to go back to the house, and we saw the miracle of that child being risen back to life. Amen. And then the final story is when she was moved into exile, and she had lost her land, she had lost her property, she had lost all her possessions. But it was almost by chance, but I know there's no chance in terms of the Bible, because of the divine providence of God. God sees all, he knows all, and he orders all things for our good. Amen. So it was by divine providence that she was actually entering into the king's court just as Gehazi was speaking about her. That is something that you cannot orchestrate by yourself. I pray that as you enter into this week, that favor will meet you in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that Lord Almighty Father will show up for you, that things will happen, that it will be like play. My pastor, Pastor Shola, said it will do you like Netflix. It will do you like movie. It will do you like play, in the mighty name of Jesus. That people will look and say, no, this is the hand of God written all over it, because no man can orchestrate this by themselves. Amen. Amen. So the second case study that I will touch on quickly is from Paul. And Paul is such an amazing man. He's an apostle. He is someone that, you know, I always refer back to in terms of someone who persevered and endured, who did not just run his race, but he ran it strong till the end. What did Paul face? He faced shipwreck, abandonment, rejection, betrayal, imprisonment. And I want to just encourage every single one of us today to be bold. Amen. I like Paul because he didn't choose the easiest way out. And I was speaking to my friend the other day. I was saying Christianity is actually not just the faith that we see it played out to be nowadays. It is not a call to mediocrity. It is a call to walk on the tight rope, 1 foot in front of the other, trusting God, because the way unto the Lord, the way of righteousness, is a very narrow path. It's very easy to fall off of it if you don't have your eyes set on one thing, on one goal, which is to serve God, to do His will diligently. Amen. So that is why I love Paul, because he didn't choose the easy way. He said, take me to Rome. I want to go to the highest court. He could have easily been let off or pardoned in the local court system, but he actually chose the most difficult court hearing for his case, because he wanted the gospel to be propagated, because he knew that that was where the most people would be impacted. And that is a very difficult thing to do. And this scripture in 2 Timothy verse 4, 9 to 22 always touches my heart, because it always reveals the humanity of Paul. In his last request, he said, come quickly, to his son Timothy. He said, bring me John Mark. This is someone that he had initially despised, and he even fought to say, no, he's not one of us, because he had betrayed them. But he said, bring him to me. That shows that he had forgiven him. He had accepted him. He had taken him like a brother. I want to encourage you that whatever anyone else has done to you, hope and unforgiveness are not compatible. Companionship should be restored. It doesn't mean that they have to come back to have the same access that they had before. There can be boundaries that you put in place, but you should forgive them. A hopeful heart does not hold resentment. Amen. So Paul, he sought companionship. He sought the books and the parchment. He sought forgiveness, and he sought the confidence that he had in God. So what are the dispositions of a hopeful heart? They are companionship, they are covering, which is in community, and they are contemplation. Thinking about, pondering on, meditating, ruminating, memorizing the scriptures. It says in Psalm 119 verse 10, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Take time to study the word. I have something what I call a spiritual diet. Every single day I must eat, because my spirit cannot be skinny. My physical body can be skinny, but my spirit cannot be skinny. It has to be fat. So I take on the worldly meat by reading the scripture, meditating the scripture, commit to, you know, studying and knowing the word of God. And then the practices of the hopeful heart. is to persevere. And one of the words, the Hebrew words in the Bible for hope, is to actually kava. And there's a popular song that has this in the lyrics. It says, do you know it, guys? We will wait until we are full. We cover until we have strength. We will wait until we are full. We cover until we have strength. Yes, that's it. We will wait until we are full. We cover until we have strength. We will wait until we are full. We cover until we have strength. Amen. So this kava is not just a passive waiting. It is a waiting like a mother that is about to give birth. It is strained. I know some in the UK and in worldwide people have home births and water births, but really and truly, it's not that, you know, nice and chill. It is a straining. There is some pressure that is applied, and that is the underpinning word for Isaiah 40 verse 30, which says those who kava, that is like a waiting with pressure, with groaning, with anticipation for the birthing that is about to come, on the Lord shall renew their strength. So it's strength for strength. A lot of times we are very passive with this scripture. We think it's just waiting and doing lullabies, but it's actually a very intense posture of prayer. The second P is practice, which is discipline. The third P is patience. And the last P is partnership. I want to just encourage every single one of us here to continue to gather together on Sundays, to meet together as a community. One of the things that has been strained in the world that we live in is this sense of community, the importance of gathering together as brethren. The safety of routines has been eroded away because of culture, because of working styles, because of the way that things are emphasized through laws and policies. But I want to encourage us not to neglect the gathering of the brethren, because even if you might come in through that door with your head bowed down, I know that when you leave and walk out through that door, because you have been with people filled with the Holy Spirit, your head will be lifted up. Amen. Amen. So let us rise up as we pray. So let us just pray that, Lord Almighty Father, help me to put in place the practices of a hopeful soul. Help me to persevere. Help me to practice. Help me to have patience. Help me to form the right partnerships in the mighty name of Jesus. As I step into the hope that I await for, help me to persevere. Help me to practice. Help me to have patience. Help me to form the right partnerships in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, CLA, lift up your voices and pray unto God. We will wait until we are born. We will wait until we are born. We will wait until we are born. We will wait. We will wait until we are born. We will wait until we are born. We will wait until. Lord, help us to persevere. Help us to pray. Help us, oh Lord. So we will wait until we are born. We will wait.
to give this opportunity for anyone who has not made that commitment unto God. The hope that we are talking about today is only available to those who have given their lives to Christ. If you haven't given your lives to Christ, then this hope that we are talking about is currently inaccessible. But with one decision and one step, that hope can be made available unto you today. So if there's anyone here that would like to give their lives to Christ or would like to rededicate their lives unto Christ, I just want to give you this opportunity to do so and to take this prayer. To say, Father Lord, I recommit myself unto you, or I commit myself unto you. I declare that you are the Lord over my life. I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And from today forward, I commit to living my life for His glory. Amen. 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 Thank you all. God bless you. It's been my pleasure being here with you today.